Indeed, a storm is passing over. Let's just do that quickly, if you don't mind. Please stand with me. To Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. From verse 1 to 4. Isaiah 26, 1 to 4. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Upon the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I ask that you please pray along with me as I speak on the title, Until the Storm Passes Over. Until the storm passes over. Let us pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. May the words out of my mouth, O God, bring peace to someone's heart. Bring healing to someone's soul. Restore hope that has been lost. Yes, sir. That you and only you will be glorified. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You can please have your seats. Until the storm passes over.
Yes.
I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it has become a common saying that I always like to acknowledge that it is in the Lord that I move, that I walk, that I talk, that I live, and I have my being. It is because of him that I'm able to stand before you this beautiful morning. Once again, thanks to Reverend Armstrong for the opportunity to bring forth God's word to his people. Amen. And to every one of you for the warm reception whenever I'm around. Amen. To this beautiful and great choir for welcoming me. So I'm not a legal member of the choir. I'm an associate member. Earlier, the choir sang beautifully the song by Detroit Mass Choir, The Storm is Passing Over. Let me, probably for my own benefit, let me recap the lyric of the song. Again. Oh, courage my soul. And let us join in on. Though the night is dark, And I'm far from home. But thanks be to God. The morning's light appears. The storm is passing over. This song is similar to what Psalm 30 verse 5b says, but in a longer version. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is also similar to the famous saying, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I want you to please note this. It is a good thing to know that the storm is passing over. And it is also good to know that the storm will pass over. But my question to you this morning is, how do you react? What is your reaction during the storm? Until the storm passes over, what do you do? According to Webster Dictionary, a storm could be a violent disturbance of the atmosphere that comes with strong winds and usually rain, thunder, lightning, as experienced by the disciples in Mark 4, 35 to 41. When they were on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus had to command the wind and the waves to be still. And like the ones we experience in the U.S. and other parts of the world. Or a storm could just be a disorderly, a violent or noisy reaction. A chaotic situation, a controversy, a disagreement, or an argument. If we were to stay with the latter definition of a storm, you will agree with me that every day, everywhere, as a nation, a church, a family, as individuals, we all experience storms. You know, those times when our problems seem so big and our faith seems so small. Those times when we felt so swamped and so afraid that we were going to be overtaken by our conditions. Those times when it seemed that the walls were closing in on us and there was no escape route. Those trying times. Those troubling times, those confusing times, those times when things just didn't make sense to you. You try going right, there's chaos. You try going left, there's financial fight. You try going back, you have to struggle on the job. Don't even think about going forward. Because you have medical crisis, you have marital crisis, you have religious crisis, you have political crisis. Those things, those times when you felt that you were stuck. And any move could lead or land you in the pit. Until the storm passes over, what do you do? The prophet Isaiah was called to ministry at a time referred to the Assyrian period. It was a time when there was great political chaos, confusion, and disorder for Judah. A time of seeking military assistance with neighboring countries when there was a conflict. But during that period, though Judah often rejected it, Isaiah's message to them was constant. Make no alliance with other nations. Do not seek help from them. Rather, trust only in your God. You see, when you trust a man, then you always have to look for another man to trust. If your hope is in man, you always have to look for another man to depend on. Because unlike God, man is not reliable. Man is not trustworthy. Man will disappoint you when you least expect it. And if you go back to history, Judah experienced the same. When they felt that they had an alliance with Assyria, they got to realize that they were on Assyria's hit list. Let me say this to someone, because I believe you need to hear this. The attitude that you exhibit during your storm or while waiting for the storm to pass over says two things about you. Firstly, it speaks to who you are. There are many of us who walk around or who are even sitting here this morning who don't really know who they are apart from their needs. But you see, let me tell you something. You are the apple of God's eyes. A member of the chosen generation. You are faithfully, you are beautifully, you are wonderfully, you are graciously made. You walk in power and you live a life of favor. 1 Peter 2:9 says you are a royal priesthood. A people belonging to God. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the redeemed of God. And with the authority to speak life to a dead situation. To walk on snakes and scorpions without getting harmed. Finally, it speaks not only to who you are, but whose you are. You see, you are the child of a king. The child of the mighty warrior who is great in battle. The child of the almighty God, the everlasting God, the great shepherd of the flock, the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the child of the all-sufficient God. The God who holds your destiny in his hand. I'm saying this to say, when you know who you are and whose you are, when you find yourself going through a storm, your reaction is different. When you find yourself going through a storm, because of who you are and whose you are, you don't easily give up. In fact, giving up is not an option for you. You don't get frustrated over minor things that might be major to someone who does not know whose they are. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in no one else but you. Quickly, until the storm passes over, whatever it is you may be going through now, I encourage you to keep your mind. Stay on the Lord. Keep your mind. Stay on the Lord. The Hebrew word that was translated to mean stay in this verse carries the idea to lean on or to rest oneself on. When you lean on something or on someone, you put your entire weight on. Someone else said that to keep one's mind stay on the Lord is like, which I believe is common for many of you, unlike us back home, it's like you're going on a relaxation trip. The purpose is to relax, to cool off. You want to chill out, to have fun. You want to forget all of your worries, all of your problems for a while. Even though you know that they will be waiting for you upon your return. But you are just taking a break. Sickness, I know you are there and you will be there. But for now, I'm not going to be bothered about that. All of the bills, I know they will always be due. But at least for a week, I'm not going to be bothered about that. So, when your mind is stayed on Jesus, it implies you doing the same. Forgetting your worries, your problems, and focusing on Jesus. Trusting Him to take care of them. Because you know what might be big for you is nothing for Him. A mind that is stayed on Jesus leans on Him when the sea is calm and when the sea is rough. It's an ongoing thing. At the institution I worked before, we will always tell the students, if you are poor and you cannot give, when you have it, you wouldn't give. Because why? You are not used to giving. Giving is an attitude. If you are mean with the little you have, even if you have plenty, you always see it as little because you don't want to give someone. So, if you are not used to focusing on Jesus in your good times, how do you start doing so when times are hard? When you do not know how to find yourself in the presence of the Master. I'm not talking about the edifice now. Because He's everywhere. But if you do not practice finding yourself in His presence, even in your kitchen when you are happy, when your children bring home good reports, it becomes difficult to even find yourself in His presence when things are tough. If the kid does not practice having a conversation with their parents when all going well, when they are having tough times, they wouldn't come around. In Jesus' name. So, when the storm is raging, while you are going through that storm, or even before the storm, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Don't let the things happening around you distract you. You know, in Matthew 14, 22-33. You read the story of the disciples on the water, and suddenly they are experiencing storm. But then Jesus comes walking, right? And Peter tells him, "Lord, tell me to come. I want to walk on the water as well." And scripture says Peter got out of the boat and he's actually walking on the water. His eye is on Jesus. But something happened. Whatever it was, he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. He saw the big shark coming to him. He saw his limitations. He saw impossibility. Just like Peter, I believe that there is someone sitting under the sound of my voice. You have your eyes on Jesus before. But because you have allowed the things that are happening around you, you've allowed the things that people are saying about you, you have allowed the noise in the market to distract you. But I say to you, it is not too late. It is not too late. Like Peter said, "Lord, save me." You can do likewise. Until the storm passes over, keep your eyes on Jesus. Also, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We are made to understand that whenever we ask God, it's either yes, no, wait. And waiting is something that many don't find pleasure in doing. Imagine your only child is dying, and doctor tells you, "Wait, because I'm tending to someone else." Right. Even if the doctor said, "Wait 1 minute," 1 minute might be like hours. We always want things fast. Fast internet, fast services, fast food, fast. But you see, Isaiah encourages us to wait on God. Yeah. By the way, keeping your mind stayed on Jesus requires waiting. Waiting. And there are benefits. When you wait on the Lord, your strength gets renewed. When you wait on the Lord, your faith gets strengthened. When you wait on the Lord, your prayer gets answered at the right time, in the right way, for your good and for God's glory. Isaiah 40:31 says, "They that wait on the Lord." Psalm 41:3 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. And because I waited on the Lord, he had poured a new song in my mouth." You know, regardless of how prepared you may think you are, enduring a storm is not a pleasant one. But while you are going through it, wait on the Lord. There are times in life when all you must do is wait. Wait and trust God to do the best. Things may not be going well for you right now. And it seems God has gone mute on you. Wait on God. Your ministry may not be blooming as you expected. Wait on God. Your marriage may not be going well. In fact, it is no longer a place to be. Your wife has become a nag. Sorry. And your husband has become Mark Tyson. Your children are out of control. And you are talking to God and he's just silent. Wait on God. When it seems that injustice is all around and it will take a long time for there to be justice, and you are asking God, God, please prove my innocence. And God is just there looking at you. Wait on God. You know, when people are saying things about you, things that are not true, and you are asking God, please prove them wrong, and nothing is happening, wait on God. When people are harming you with their words, and you know we are good at that, or with their actions, wait on God. You know, a colleague of mine shared a testimony. He and his wife been married for a few years, and God blessed them with a child, a son. His child that they prayed for. And on this day, the child gets sick, and they took the child to the hospital. The doctors are trying to locate a vein. Thank God they found it the first time, but it seemed like it came out, it slipped. The medical people, you know. Trying to find another one because they really needed to give the baby a blood. But at this time, it became difficult. And the doctors, you know, they say they would go under the feet, the head, and everywhere. They just couldn't find a vein. The mother is there crying. That's her only child for now. The father happens to be a man of God, and he's out there, and he's talking to God, and he's reminding God of his word and everything. And it seems that God is just like... The father is outside. He hears his baby screaming. And he's still talking, God, do something. Do something. That's my baby. And God is like, at least God will say either yes or no. But to just be silent. They stay like that until the next morning. Then a doctor was called in. And when the doctor came and did all of the examinations, the doctor said, this baby does not need blood. The pastor said, couldn't God have just said something? At that moment, couldn't he have just said, leave this baby alone, nothing is wrong, but to just be silent? Have you been at that place before? Or are you at that place right now? Where you are asking God, you are saying something to God, and God is not responding. You know how probably when you're in a dying need and you need to talk to someone urgently, and then you pick up the phone and it rings, and yet, bam, bam, bam. Operator comes in and says, sorry, you cannot reach whosoever you are calling at this time, but you still have hope, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. But you can leave a message at the end of the pan sound, and you are waiting for a pan. The moment you hear pan, you are about to turn and say, I'm sorry, this meal box is full. Or you try to reach to someone and the phone line is just dead.
Yeah.
Have you been at that place in your life? Probably you've tried talking, reaching out. You pick up your telephone line to talk to God, and the phone is dead. And you really need his intervention at that time. What do you do? Don't lose focus. Keep your mind stayed on him. Still wait on him. Trust him.
Yes.
Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. No matter what's happening in your life today, trust God. He will show up on time. I always like to tell myself, it may not be at the time that I want him to show up, but he will definitely show up. And when he shows up, he's going to show up for real good. And then I will say, yes, it was good. I waited. And that I trust in God. Not only that, while you are waiting, I encourage you, look back, count your blessings. Look back, count your blessings. God has been good to someone. God has been very good to you. If you don't believe it, you are sitting here today. That's the goodness of God. He took you to bed last night.
Yes.
He woke you up this morning. And as a matter of fact, he did not allow you to sleep too long. He woke you up just on time. God is a good God. Many of us don't deserve to be here like right now. But we are all here because our God is a good God. We mess up and we continue to mess up. But God is so gracious. He's so good. Look, let me tell you, if God were checking our wrongs, we would not be in here today. We would not even be alive today. But we can say, thank you, Jesus, that you are God, God. Thank you, Jesus, that when it seemed that way or the door were closed before me, God opened new doors. When I was sad, he made me glad.
Yeah.
When others wrote you off, God said, I'm not done with you yet.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. You are still going through the refinery. And when you come out, you're going to come out as real gold, shiny gold. God is a good God. I say your surgery may not have gone well, but guess what? You did not leave on the table. Someone's surgery went well, but they are not here today. God is a good God. So whatever it is, whatever life may throw your way, just remember, count your blessings and name them one by one. And it will surprise you of the many things that God has done for you. In Jesus' name.